Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on redemption and the straw man when we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm. But submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. The Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. And the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression, of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. Now, you know, I wished I'd have thought of that, but that quotation comes from our Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. You know, our princes and our politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control. But you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. And that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts. It doesn't come from our political process. It doesn't come from our politicians, our lawyers, or our bureaucrats. You know, old Mayor Rothschild, I think, summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and then I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power here in America, and indeed around the world, is in our courts. It's not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to learn how to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now, just call and ask for it. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you go ahead and do that right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, talking about this thing of redemption and the straw man, last time we were talking about four students that came down here to law school, went through tax and status, and they brought down with them their books on redemption and straw man, but they did something even more important. They came down with real, hardcore, tangible evidence that this thing of redemption really works. As I pointed out last time, one of them came down with the title to his brand new Ford Explorer, $40,000 paid with a sight draft drawn on the United States of America on what he believed was his $6 million account that was derived from his birth certificate. Another man paid off the mortgage of his house. A real estate broker from Philadelphia paid off $3 million worth of debts and mortgages. And one fellow, a tax protester, had paid off some debts, but not a house. And their challenge to me, these four men, their challenge to me was, if this doesn't work, prove to us how this is wrong. Now, I cannot prove a negative. I cannot prove to you that redemption is wrong. What I want you to do is to prove that it's correct. Prove that it's right. Now, these four guys, they thought, at least, and then I was pretty persuaded, too. I said, you know, when you walk in here with the title to your house and a letter from the bank that says thank you for your $236,000 in full payment on your house, and here's the deed and promissory note back, that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Now, what is this redemption thing as it relates to your birth certificate? Well, here's what the theory is, and here's the guy that came up with the theory, and it's reported by Larry Beecraft, so let's take a look at it. Roger Elvick is the guy's name. That's the guy that funked this up. So if you want to know where did redemption come from, it came from Roger Elvick. When did it come up? Back in 1992. Okay, now, listen to this. While there, Roger developed this new argument. In essence, Roger Elvick contends that everyone's birth certificate constitutes ownership in America Incorporated, and we all have stock in this corporation, which stock is represented by these birth certificates. And here's the case that says that. Lodi versus Lodi, cited at 173, California Appellate Court, 3rd, 628, and it's reported on page 219. Oh, excuse me. It's also cited in 219 California Reporter on page 116 in 1985, where similar arguments were rejected, and Doe's versus United States, cited at 86 U.S. Tax Court, 9773 in the Northern District of Iowa in 1986, where the petitioner informs the court of his notorious rescission of his Social Security number and rescission of his birth certificate, which documents had previously made him a member of Corporate America Commune, converting him into a slave of the commune, subject to the regulation and control of the federal government. The fact that Doe's has attempted to rescind his Social Security number and birth certificate by sworn affidavit is irrelevant. The big banks and other financial institutions regularly trade in these birth certificates, buying and selling them to others. Of course, according to this new argument, you can do the same thing. Now, they're claiming here that the big banks are buying your birth certificates, and this is where you get this $6 million account. Well, that's what the floor layer had reported to me. That's why he believed that he had $6 million in his account. Remember, I asked him, why do you have $6 million in your account? What is your account number? And he gave me his account number. It was on the site draft. He gave me his account number. Now, here's the kicker. The account number that he had on his site draft was exactly the same number that the other three students had. And I said, do you mean all four of you have the same account number for your birth certificate? Now, here the conversation broke down, because it was the first time that these guys had looked at the account number being exactly the same for each one of them. This, they all admitted they did not understand that. I said, well, I don't understand it either, but if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Now, boys and girls, I would like to learn that I have a secret account that I didn't know anything about, which came from my birth certificate, and is on file with the United States Department of Commerce, and it holds $6 million, and all I've got to do is learn what the account number is and start writing site drafts and buying everything I can think of. I want something like that. My God, who wouldn't? So when some guy comes into some Patriot meeting and he says, hey, let me explain redemption. Do you remember the other day I mentioned there are five motivators in human nature? It's vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Boys and girls, we are all motivated by lust and greed. God, I'd like to have a new Ford Explorer, wouldn't you? God, I'd like to have access to $6 million and I could just write a check and pay off my mortgage. Wouldn't you? Now, that's what a salesman, that's what a Ponzi schemer is selling. He comes to you and he says, let me sell you what you want. Let me tell you what you want to hear. And you want to hear that you've got a secret account worth $6 million that comes from your birth certificate. Now, boys and girls, birth certificates are bad for you. Social Security account numbers are bad for you. But it doesn't have anything to do with a secret bank account with the Department of Commerce or somebody else based upon your birth certificate. Well, at least not as far as I know. But there's a little bit more here to the story. Now, from here, the argument goes downhill and becomes even more bizarre. Now, I know precisely what are the major features of this argument because I've read the course material, and I even viewed a videotape of one meeting where this issue was discussed. This contention is utterly crazy. Now, that's Larry B. Craft's word, crazy, there. However, many people are studying this new issue and even issuing site drafts based upon this argument. But the promoters of this argument, like Roger Elvick, Wally Peterson, Ron Nutt, and Dave DeRimmer, are really selling federal indictments, and you're free to buy into this scheme, but be ready to face criminal charges and maximum terms now of imprisonment being as long as 25 years. Well, that's quite a little story, isn't it? 25 years in the slammer. Now, here's my dilemma. See, four guys come down here, they go to school, they pay their money, they're in the class. They present me with this and say, prove it's wrong. After they have showed me the title to the Ford Explorer and the paid in full and so on. Now, I said to the boys, I said, well, this appears to be pretty lucrative, all right. And if in fact you have an account, and if in fact this account number that you have here is the same account number for all four of you, then I presume that my birth certificate must be on file and account, and this must be my account number too. In fact, could it be that everybody in America has the same account number? Does that make sense to you? I mean, do you have the same amount of money in your birth certificate account that I have in mine? And according to the floor layer, it must be $6 million. And when I asked him, where'd you get the $6 million number, he didn't know. I'm sure he believed it. But, you know, again, don't you think that if you had an account someplace that there should be a record of it? Now, remember, they're talking about these big banks and that these big banks over here are buying, selling, and trading. It says the big banks and other financial institutions regularly trade in these birth certificates, buying and selling them to others. Well, is there any record of these transactions anywhere? Has anybody ever seen any of these transactions? See, these are questions that I asked, and I've never received any satisfactory answers. So, here's my thinking. See, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't give legal advice. In fact, it's against the law for me to give legal advice. People call here quite often, and they say, Mr. Gordon, I need some advice. Mr. Gordon, would you give me some legal advice? And I have to tell them, no. If you want my opinion, you know, for what it's worth, you know, I'll be happy to tell you what I think of it. But no, don't ask me for legal advice. That's a monopoly that's owned by the American Bar Association. If you want legal advice, you have to go to a licensed professional lawyer. They're the guys that have the monopoly on that. I don't have that. But just looking at it and telling, here's what I think, I said, I think that this is some kind of a fraud. I don't know what the fraud is. I don't know why your check's clear. I don't understand it. But then, hell, I don't know everything there is to know in the world. So they finished the course and they went on back home. Now, I had told them that if it was me, I thought that I would call the FBI and ask them if there was something to this or if this was some kind of a fraud. I said, I think I would go down to the IRS and say, is there something here that I don't know that maybe you do? Now, I'm not any great lover, you know, of the FBI or the IRS or any other government institution or agency. I'm not their enemies. I'm not here trying to overthrow the IRS or overthrow the Federal Reserve Bank. I don't participate in them. I think they're criminal activities. I think they're bad for me. I don't know if the income tax is bad for you or not. What the hell do I know about your relationship with the Internal Revenue Service or your relationship with your citizenship with your country or something? I'm not here to make those kind of judgments. I came to a conclusion. I thought they were bad for me, and so I dropped out of them. Kind of like dealing with the mafia. My conclusion is dealing with a criminal syndicate like the mafia is probably going to be bad for me, so I just don't do that. I came to the same conclusion with dealing with the United States of America and Missouri and France and Germany and everybody else. I think that these countries around the world are criminal activities, criminal syndicates that you and I, the Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives of the world, ought to stay about as far away from as we can get. I think we ought to go back to the Ten Commandment model and practice the first commandment that says, you shall have no other gods before me, and go back and practice the law of our Creator, and let the other people, the idolaters, practice the law of Germany, France, and the United States, Canada, and Australia, and so on. But then, see, that's my take on it. That's my opinion. And I'm not here to give you advice and tell you who you should worship. Hell, that's a personal decision for you to make. Now, getting back here then to the redemption story over here, this thing appears good, doesn't it? And it really works. The check's actually clear. The four boys went back home, and a few months later, I got a call from the floor layer first. And the floor layer called me and said the FBI was just here to interview me. And I said, well, that's interesting to know. What did they want to interview you about? And they said they wanted to know where I got the number that I put on the site draft to pay for my Ford Explorer and pay off my mortgage. And so I didn't tell them, and I didn't talk. And I said, you know, I think that's a mistake. And it's a mistake because I think you're involved in a criminal enterprise. And I don't know what the criminal enterprise is. And they're there to investigate that criminal enterprise. And the best thing you can do is to turn state's evidence and confess your sin. This is what we see in the Bible, you know, turn from your wickedness and confess your sin. And if what you're doing is honest and legal and lawful, then there's got to be a modality and a process that you're following, and it's legal and lawful. If, on the other hand, it's illegal and it's a fraud or it's unlawful and a theft, then the sooner you confess it and get on the right side, the less time you're going to spend in prison. That's just the way the system works. I didn't make it that way, but I'm just reporting to you that's the way it goes. So he changed his tune, and he called the FBI back and said that he wanted to cooperate, and so he sat down with the FBI, and he told them where, what Patriot meeting he went to and where he got the number, and gave him his books, and so the FBI looked at it. Now, the ultimate end of that guy was he got off scot-free. Well, you know, not exactly, I guess, scot-free. He had to give the Ford Explorer back, and then he had to pay the damages to the Ford company for taking their Ford Explorer, a brand new car, and using it for 6 months. And then he had to go back to the bank and start making his payments on his house. I mean, there were some things, you know, that he had to get back to zero on. The second man, who was the tax protester, went to prison on some kind of a plea negotiation, and as I recall, it was 3 years. The bus driver from Cleveland, who had paid off his mortgage for $96,000, I don't know what happened to him. He never talked anymore. I'd contact with him a couple of times. I said, keep me posted. He didn't. The real estate broker from Philadelphia, who paid off $3 million worth of mortgages, was in litigation. He was under criminal prosecution, said he was going to fight it tooth and nail, clear to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I never heard any more from him. So there's the experience that I've had with redemption and straw man. Now, Larry Beecraft goes on and says a little bit more about the story here. Here's late breaking news, an email regarding the law enforcement activity against the redemption advocates. This is dated January the 11th, 2000. It says, I was just informed that a federal SWAT team, approximately 30 men, raided a farm near Everett, Michigan, and the raid started at 6 a.m. and lasted 4 hours until 10 a.m. They captured the occupants, made them sit and watch proceedings. They were told nothing except that they were not under arrest. The raid was pursuant to a grand jury subpoena and contained a warrant for any and all items relating to accepted for value. Okay, now there's that buzzword now. Accepted for value. Now here's the SWAT team comes in and they're looking for documents that have that buzzword on it. And site drafts, okay, now write down the word site drafts. Now a site draft is a real legal instrument. There's nothing phony about that. There are real things out there called site drafts. But now, the way you use those site drafts can be illegal. So, you know, if you're going to use a site draft or a check or a money order or a cashier's check or, you know, whatever you're using, you know, there are certain rules and regulations that you got to follow. Now, I don't give advice, but my opinion is that commercial paper are made up of unjust weights and balances. In the Bible, God says, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance. Need any more be said? You know, for an old farm boy like me, when you come in here to buy my cow, I say, give me 5 ounces of gold. You reach in your pocket, you pull out 5 coins and hand them to me, and I help you load the cow up in your truck, and I give you a bill of sale for 5 ounces of gold, and you drive out. Sounds like a pretty straightforward transaction to me. There's no unjust weights and balances. You got a cow, I've got gold, everybody's happy. Now, other people, though, they want checks, money orders, commercial paper. They want... Now, if you want a deal in that kind of thing, you know, go to it, but you're going to have to follow the rules and regulations that are put out by Congress and your state legislatures. And now, I think that the law of God is a lot simpler, more direct modality for following than the laws of the United States, but then, you know, that's your choice in life, isn't it? But notice these buzzwords, accepted for value, site drafts, and anything to do with the IRS, the United States, and securities. And I was told that there were 22 people on a list that were raided this AM. At least one of the occupants there was served a grand jury subpoena to appear and testify in February. So be advised that this is what's going to happen. And I bet that those who advocate using acceptance for value to refuse criminal process like an indictment or information will be charged with obstruction of justice, and then they'll be tied into a giant conspiracy of those who told others to send in drafts drawn on the U.S. Treasury. This stupidity will just be another instance where the freedom movement will be held up to the press and the rest of America as a bunch of fruitcakes and nuts, and dangerous ones at that. And there are certain very fundamental flaws within this argument, which are as follows. Now, Larry Beecraft goes on, and we'll talk about this a little bit. What's wrong with these arguments? I want to go back here to this number. Now, I called, after these four guys left, I called my banker friend in Boise, Idaho. Now, Frank the Gold Broker. Frank the Gold Broker he never joined the Illuminati, but he was trained in an Illuminist institution, the University of Washington, after he returned from the Korean War. He was selected to become an insider banker. He was trained and educated as an insider banker, and he worked as an insider banker for 14 years. Frank, the gold broker, is a pretty savvy guy. Hell of a lot smarter than I am. And so, as a reporter, see, reporters are not very smart people. Those of us that are in the reporting business, in journalism, we ask a lot of questions, and the reason we ask a lot of questions is because we don't know anything. Hell, if we knew something, we wouldn't be asking questions, would we? So, I asked Frank, I told him the story that I just related to all of you, and I said, what in the hell's going on here? Have you heard anything about the banks buying and selling birth certificates and creating accounts for people that are called straw men accounts and accepted for value redemption, site drafts, redemption process, anything like that? And he said, sounded like a fraud to him, sounded like some kind of a scam. He said, I don't know what the hell this is all about. I remember this is, 10, 12 years ago. Now, again, let me remind you that I put out a special CD going over the legal ramifications of this story that I'm relating to you now in brief. And I put all of the legal arguments and all the cases together on a CD. If you want one of them, call us and we'll make one of those available to you. But I thought I would make a report here on the air and say, well, let's take a look at this redemption thing. Because people like this Australian man, when we started our conversation, yesterday, he said that that's what he believes in, that his birth certificate creates an account and there's money in there. And he's trying to learn how to access his account. Well, these four guys that were in here, they all learned how to access their account. And when I asked Frank, what about this account number that's on these site drafts? And he said, send me a copy of the site draft. Let me see it. Well, these four guys, one of the four guys, the floor layer, I photocopied those two site drafts, the one that he had made to his bank for $236,000. And the one for the $40,000 and change for the Ford Explorer. And I sent them to Frank. He looked at him and he said, God, those look good. This is a banker. I said, Frank, would you accept those? He said, yes, I would take them. I'm a banker. Hell, I would take these site drafts. And he said, there's a process that we go through. We simply check on that number. That number on there is a secret number. You're not supposed to have that number. The number on the bottom of your check, go down to the bottom of your checking account checks, and there's a long line of numbers down there. That long line of numbers is a secret code, and the average Joe Sixpack does not know what those numbers mean. They identify the bank, the issuing bank, they identify the deposit holder and his account number and so on. That's like your PIN number, that you use on your credit cards and your ATM machine. See, these numbers are important. They're part and parcel with the banking system. Now, as it turns out, what do you think that number was? Was it a secret account number from your birth certificate, or was it something else? What do you think that number was? Because that's the number. Frank told me, he said, that number, which these guys were not supposed to have, that somehow they got, was the account number of the Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C. Ah, so all four of them had the same number. And guess what number it was? It was the Department of Transportation account number. All right, now how does that work? Well, they went to some Patriot meeting, and this guy that was selling the $75 packets or selling the redemption program gave them the number. Now, where he got the number, I don't know, but somehow or another, he got the super secret Department of Transportation bank account number. All right, now let's think about this for a minute. Congress will appropriate billions of dollars for the Department of Transportation, which has hundreds of offices scattered all over the United States of America, with literally thousands of people who have access to those billions of dollars of funds as they disperse those funds in their everyday activities in doing whatever it is that the Department of Transportation does, building bridges and paying off, you know, paying off contractors and buying steel and whatever it is, and roadbed material. You know, they're spending that money every year, aren't they? All right. Well, let's suppose that you work for the Department of Transportation in San Francisco, California, and you're a longtime bureaucrat with the department, and you are an authorized disbursement officer in the San Francisco office, and one day you decide that you need to buy a new Ford Explorer. How would you do that? You would write up a site draft with this super secret number on it, probably out of your computer sitting at your desk. And you would then present that to the Ford Motor dealer, Ford Company, or Ford dealership, and say, we'd like to have that new Ford Explorer right over there for the Department of Transportation. They, in turn, will look at it, and they will deposit it in their bank. Their bank will then take it, and they will deposit it with the Federal Reserve, who in turn will send it to the Department of Transportation. And that check will clear all the way through. And the Department of Transportation now has a new Ford Explorer in San Francisco, California. They put their logo on it and drive it around. Well, if you're a floor layer and you live in Cleveland, Ohio, and you have that number and you write up a site draft, and you go down to your local Ford dealer and you present it, he's going to give you a new Ford Explorer. But here's the rub. Are you, the floor layer, authorized by the Department of Transportation to write up these site drafts? And the answer is, no, you're not. So you believe that you have a birth certificate and a secret account with $6 million in it, and you're accessing your account when in reality you have been swindled and deceived into writing a fraudulent site draft on a bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., and you're out here stealing $40,000 worth of Ford Explorer, for which the FBI comes and knocks on your door and says, did you sign this site draft? Now, this guy signed it with his own name. Now, the reason that this gets caught up with, you see, and it goes on for so long and then finally gets caught up with, is that this doesn't get audited every day. It isn't like you with your checking account. Every month the bank sends you your checks back and you review them. This gets audited every year, 2 or 3 years, by the... it's not the Department of Transportation. It's another agency of government. It's a budget office. I think it's the budget office. And they've got thousands and thousands of government employees, and all these site drafts and all this stuff comes in. They need to balance their books, and they do. They balance their checkbook just like you and I do. But they don't balance it every month like you and I do. They balance it every year, 2 years, or 3 years in what they call a general audit. And so they audit their books, and when they go through the books, they say, oh, look at this. We bought a new Ford Explorer in Cleveland, Ohio, and Joe Finkelstein signed for it. And so they run it through the audit, and they say, well, who in the hell is Joe Finkelstein? And they look down the list of authorized signatures, and they say, gee, we don't have a Joe Finkelstein in Cleveland who's authorized to sign this site draft. Uh-oh. So this appears then that we have somebody signing site drafts who has the account number, who is representing himself as a person who is an authorized signatory on the account. So then they turn it over to the FBI, and the FBI goes out to interview Joe Finkelstein to find out, hey, Joe, how come you're writing site drafts on the Department of Transportation and ripping off Ford Explorers? That's the way that works. Now, the Montana Freemen did that, and they all went to jail. And these four guys, well, two of them, maybe three of them went to jail. Now, the floor layer, the guy that called me, said, well, what do you do for this? And I said, well, what you have to do is to turn state's evidence. What the hell else are you going to do? I mean, come on. Wake up and smell the coffee. You just ripped off a bank for $236,000 and the Ford company for $40,000. And you admit that that's your name on the site draft and you made it out of your own computer. Now, why don't you figure out what your next step would be if you don't think turning state's evidence is the right move to make? All right, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's eight schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief in the Law Hour. An editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we're giving don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans in their viewpoints. May not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. Oops, I'm going to turn the wrong page here. Last item on the list over here is these opinions, rather, these beliefs, these comments and views and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about redemption and the straw man. Now, depending upon who you're talking to and who's been at whose seminar at what time, you get different takes on what we're dealing with here called redemption, UCC, accepted for value, and so on. Now, the whole process, all of these buzzwords over here, have some common denominators, but they all have differences. Well, now, that in itself ought to tell you a lot of something, because the law is not vague and ambiguous. The law is pretty specific and straightforward. Now, if your birth certificate actually had some economic value and it was being bought, sold, and traded by banks, there would be accounts, there would be controversies, there would be litigation, there would be court opinions. I couldn't find any. And all of the court opinions, all of the people that are being tried and all of the issues that are being litigated are for fraud, theft, and other criminal charges. So, you know, that right there in itself tells me that this is something that you ought to stay about as far away from as you can get. Now, I teach my students how to rescind their birth certificates, and that birth certificates are bad for you, that they violate the law of God, and that there's 15 reasons why you ought to stay as far away from that as you can get. But it doesn't have anything to do with site drafts and secret accounts and buying, selling, and trading birth certificates on the open market. Or in the case of the man from Australia told me that his birth certificate in Australia was in some way connected with, well, it isn't his birth certificate in Australia. He's from Australia, but he was born in the United States. But somehow his birth certificate has something to do with bonds. Well, what in the hell does his birth certificate in the United States have to do with bonds issued in Australia? And do you rescind your birth certificate in the United States? I mean, we're talking about United States bonds. Well, put another way, what in the hell does a United States bond have to do with your birth certificate? Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say it doesn't have anything to do with it, but it doesn't have anything to do with it that I know of. But then I don't know everything there is to know in the world, and so maybe there's something there that I don't know. But I kind of doubt it. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not brain dead, and I've done quite a bit of research, and I know how to research, and I research this thing out, and I keep running into all these dead ends. Now, when you're doing legal research, and you're on a track over here, there's no dead ends. There's the literature that leads you to more, to leads you to more, and leads you to more, and tells you more and more and more, and there's just no end to it. When there's something legitimate to talk about, by God, there's, you know, when we talk about labor and labor relations, I can look up labor and labor relations in the American jurisprudence. I can look it up in Bouvier's Law Dictionary. Hell, I can run across cases in the Supreme Court reports. So when we're talking about subject matter, we ought to be able to look up accepted for value, redemption, straw man, UCC 1-207, redemption and redemption process, and there ought to be something said. And yeah, there is. But what it says doesn't have anything to do with birth certificates and site drafts and secret accounts and buying, selling, and trading in the open market by the big banks. That's my point. Nothing. And then a lot of times, you know, you people say, well, if this isn't true, then prove it. Honest to God, do you people believe that I'm going to take up hundreds of your cases and prove to hundreds of you people one at a time? I got nothing better to do in life than just sit here and prove that redemption's phony? Hell, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to take a little time here and I'm going to show you what I've discovered about redemption and what the courts have said about it. And then if you want to participate in it, hell, don't let me get in your way. I'm not here to tell you not to do it. Sounds good. You know, it appeals to my vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. I'd like to have a $6 million account to buy a new Ford Explorer on. My hang-up is that this number comes from the Department of Transportation. Now, that number gets changed all the time. See, that number that was used years ago won't work anymore, but there are new numbers out there. And just because you have this number does not mean that you ought to be out here using it. Doesn't mean that that's your secret birth certificate number or some other secret number, for that matter, depending upon who's selling what new scam at what time. Now, Larry Beecraft said that there were certain fundamental legal flaws with this argument, and here's what they are. He's got flaw number one, flaw number two, flaw number three, flaw number four, flaw number five, flaw number six. Now, I looked through Larry Beecraft's flaws over here, and I agree with him that I think he's probably right. Now, I didn't check out every single citation that he made here. But as I said before, I know Larry Beecraft personally. You know, we're not drinking buddies per se. We used to be pretty good drinking buddies, but you know, I haven't seen him for quite a few years, and he lives in Alabama, and I live in Missouri, and we talk once in a while, you know, not every day, but, you know, once every 4 or 5 years. And I have very high regard for him. I think he's pretty much on point. And even though I disagree with him on some points over here, I didn't disagree with him on this. So I'm going to take a little time here, and I'm going to go through what he said, and then I want to just second that and say, well, I think he's right about that. And he says that this is crazy, and he's a lawyer. Hell, he's been to law school. You know he's smart, don't you? Now, I come along on the scene and I say, well, I haven't been to law school, but I did read a law book or two once. And my conclusion was, well, I didn't use the word crazy. I would say that it's ill-informed. Ill-informed. Now, there are certain very fundamental flaws within this argument, which are as follows. Number one, he says the birth certificate is not the basis for the creation of credit in this country. Economic texts and a wide variety of other materials plainly demonstrate the manner by which credit money is created in the United States. A bank or a central bank like the Federal Reserve Bank extends credit in exchange for the receipt of some note or other financial obligation made by either a private party or government. At the federal level, the Federal Reserve extends credit to the U.S. Treasury simply by bookkeeping entries made in favor of the United States when the Fed buys obligations of the United States. In contrast, a birth certificate is not a note or other debt instrument. Contrary to what Roger Elvick, Ron Nutt, Wally Peterson, or idiots like Dave DeRemer may contend. All right, now I want to emphasize that this is the opinion of Larry Beecraft. I'm not suggesting that Roger Elvick, Ron Nutt, Wally Peterson are idiots. I don't know that. Couldn't tell you that. Maybe Larry Beecraft knows more than I do. But he goes on to say, simply stated, a birth certificate is not a note, it's not a bond, or other financial obligation, and it is not sold to financial institutions. Contrary to the blatant lies of the liar, and he spells this L-I-A-R-Y-E-R, which is a synonym for lawyer, promoters of this argument, in short, the birth certificate is not the foundation for the credit used as money today. So I'm going to pause here and make a little editorial comment here. It could be. Now, see, the people who are the promoters of this and the people who are the adherents to this, they believe that their birth certificate is, in fact, a note and that this is, in fact, the way that we create money. Okay. Well, then, in law, we have what we call the burden of proof. Now, Larry Beecraft has met his burden of proof. He said, I looked up bills and notes, and here's the way credit money is created. There is a thing called credit money, and there are credit accounts. That's true. Now, is it true that your birth certificate is a note and that it creates a credit account? And Larry Beecraft says, no, it isn't. Now, my research into the literature says, no, it isn't. So, Larry Beecraft says it isn't, and George Gordon agrees with Larry Beecraft. That does not mean that George and Larry are correct. It may be that we have been deceived, that we are ignorant, or as he points out, idiots. Hell, maybe I am an idiot. Maybe Larry Beecraft is an idiot, the two of us are idiots, and you people that believe in straw men, redemption, and UCC have the truth. Okay, we'll give you credit for that. Now, would you please send me the information from American jurisprudence or from the legal dictionaries and explain that to me? Beecraft has met his burden. Now, could you meet your burden? And I've been at this now for about 1992. I first heard about this redemption thing probably about 99. It had been around for a while. I might have heard the word buzzed by me a couple of times. But I'm telling you that as of this date, 2009, people by the millions worldwide now have subscribed to this Roger Elvick program. I imagine Roger Elvick must be real proud of himself. He's got millions of people that subscribe to this fiction. And a few of us out here, you know, don't subscribe to it, and we're looked upon as the lunatic fringe. So I just wanted to say, I believe in birth certificates, and I'm familiar with them. I think birth certificates are bad, wicked, terrible, awful instruments. I don't think that I should have one. I shouldn't say you shouldn't have one. I can see some bad things. But I've never said to my students that you should rescind your birth certificate so that you can collect your $6 million out of your straw man account. I don't believe that. I don't teach that. I don't practice that. But I suspect that a lot of people come to school here and they get that impression when they combine that with a lot of these other crappy ideas. He's got one more paragraph. He says, "Why don't you request of the advocates of this argument that they produce some reliable documentation that birth certificates are the basis of credit in this country, rather than the instruments mentioned above? It's simply foolish to rely upon the word of Roger Elvick. It is even more foolish to believe anything that DeRimmer declares." I don't know who this guy DeRimmer is. I met Roger Elvick one time. Now, when I meet a con man, I gotta tell you, I am always impressed by con men. Always. And if that weren't true, see, they wouldn't be con men. A con man has to be impressive. Because if he wasn't impressive, he wouldn't be a con man. So I am always impressed by con men. And when con men come up to me and they make their presentations, I'm always bedazzled. Every single time. I go, wow! What an idea. What a great concept that is. God, that just appeals to every body fluid coursing through my veins. I just love it. I want more. Tell me. Then I have to come back down to earth and I have to say, wait a minute. Hang on a second here. This sounds too good to be true. You know, this is just too great. This is just too easy. This is just too simple. So therefore, it probably isn't. If it's hard, takes work, sweat, blood, tears, that's probably true. If it's fun, feels good, cheap, easy, that probably isn't. So, you know, that's the way life is, and I didn't make it that way. But I got to say, I think Larry Beecraft hit the nail on the head. He says, hey, why don't you guys, you know, put your money where your mouth is and come up with some reliable evidence. Now, sometimes these people will say, well, you can't believe anything the government tells you. Does that mean that you can believe everything that every tax protester tells you? That every one of these freedom movement patriots says is the gospel, God-awful truth? Now, I got to agree with you, but it's not quite that bad. When somebody says, do you believe everything that the government tells you? The answer is, no, I don't. And that's because the government does not lie to us 100% of the time. If the government lied to us 100% of the time, boys and girls, we would know the truth 100% of the time. Because it would be the opposite of what the government tells us every single time. Now, if the government told us the truth every single time, and they never failed, and they always told the truth, then we would always know the truth. Wouldn't we? Boys and girls, in order to deceive us, the government has to tell us the truth at least some of the time, in order to deceive us all of the time. Now, a deceiver tells you the truth part of the time and he mixes it with lies. That's where the deception comes in. So, in uncovering these deceptions, what we do is we listen to the guy and we say, okay, well, what evidence do you have? Who else agrees with you? What did the Supreme Court say? What did the Circuit Court of Appeals say? What did the legislature say? You know, come on. And that's what Larry Beecraft is pointing out. He says, flaw number one, the birth certificate is not the basis for the creation of credit in this country. Now, the basis of the creation of credit in the United States of America comes from the Federal Reserve Central Bank under the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. That's where it comes from. It's not birth certificates. It's not driver's licenses. It's, you know, it's not marriage licenses. It's just, it comes from the Federal Reserve. They've got a license. They've got a program that they follow. And then they can create credit. Is there credit? Yep. Is there credit created out of thin air? Yep. Is it good for us? I don't think so. Should it be abolished? I believe it should. But, you know, I don't make these laws, rules, and regulations. I said before, and I'll say it again, I'm a reporter. And I just report facts, and I'm doing that now. I'm giving you a report. I've given this report a time or two in the past, but my phone still rings about one time a day, and somebody wants to know more about redemption. Okay, if you want to know about redemption, if you want the legal arguments for redemption, I have a CD. It's not free now. You got to pay me for it. I don't know what the price is. I guess I ought to ask. And we'll tell you that answer. You can just listen to me here on the air free of charge and cost you a dime. And I'm going to give you a lot of the information, not all of it, but I'll give you a lot of it. And then I wanted to invite you, why don't you go to the Larry Beecraft website at fly.highway.net. That's FLY.HIWAAY. There's two A's in that highway on this website. Or just Google Larry Beecraft. Maybe he's got something new. I haven't seen this for a while. I took this and put it into my book. This is in my tax school. I said, let me inform you. Let me tell you, here's what this guy says. And I thought it was true in 2000 when I got this. I thought it was true in 2005. I still think it's still true today. Flaw number one. The birth certificate is not the basis for the creation of credit in this country. And I reported to you that the floor layer went out and he believed that he had a credit account with $6 million in it, which was created by his birth certificate. He believed it and went out and wrote a site draft that he made out of his own computer, bought a Ford Explorer and paid off his mortgage, and the checks cleared. Now, what better proof do you want than that? But then a little later on, the FBI came knocking on his door and said, well, where in the hell did you get the authority to sign these checks, sign these site drafts on an account called the Transportation Department? And he just barely escaped going to prison. And the other three guys, one of them I know went to prison, and the other two I suspect did. So there's your word of warning. Now, next time we'll take a look at flaw number two, the flaw number two in this argument that they're selling coast to coast and border to border and now around the world. Next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Meanwhile, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log, schedule, and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We got to leave it right here. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.